Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is Jack Watts for Jack Watts Live, broadcasting to you today from James Island near Folly Beach in the historic area of Charleston, South Carolina, where the weather is absolutely magnificent. As those of you who are in other areas of the country freezing your buns off, let me just tell you, it was a magnificent day to take a long, leisurely stroll on the beach in a t-shirt, which is exactly what I did. What do I like about doing that? One, it's great exercise. Two, clears my head. And three, it helps give me a little color in the face. I don't mind being white, but I don't care for being pasty. Having a nice tan is always a good thing. All right. As we start our programming for this year, last year we spent just about every moment talking about the state of the nation, the state of the economy, the need to defeat Barack Hussein Obama, and to put some sanity back into the government of the United States of America, and we failed. Just like so many others, it was hard. It was a hard pill to swallow. And it makes you wonder, what is going on in America that we would elect somebody like that? One of the things that I think about when I think about what we're going to talk about this year, which really is going to be far more philosophical and helping you ask the questions and answer them about who you are and what you can do to make this a better nation. These are tough things. It's not an easy question. We'll also, if they ever get back to the Benghazi scandal, you know, or to Fast and Furious, or to any of the other things, we'll certainly talk about those also. Right now, the number one topic seems to be the assault on the Second Amendment, which I find to be very interesting. The whole idea, well, we need to curb guns. And, you know, obviously there's the argument that we have too much violence. This is a terrible, blight on our society. And that's true. When Piers Morgan gets on TV and he says, well, there's only 35 murders in the UK, and yet he's over here, obviously. But in the United States, there's 11,000. Well, we have always been a violent society. This has always been the Wild West. But that's not the issue. The issue isn't whether or not we should be allowed to have guns. The issue is constitutional. We have an inalienable right to bear weapons. Now, inalienable isn't a word that you use every day in everyday life. In fact, I don't know that I have ever used it conversationally, but inalienable means exactly what it says, and each of our Bill of Rights is an inalienable right. Now, the Constitution, which is the law of the land, would not have been ratified had it not been for the Bill of Rights. That being the case, inalienable is something that the founders insisted upon having before they would ratify the Constitution. And inalienable means you can't take it away. That's our right. All right, I'm going to bring on my brother, Richard.
Well, if you want to take my gun, you're going to have to take it from my cold, dead hand.
Well, you know, I think that there are probably 20 million Americans that feel that way.
Well,
or more. And, you know, I think about myself. I've never owned a gun. I fired a gun one time when I was at the University of Georgia. I told, you know, I was a pledge at Kappa Sigma fraternity. And, you know, I was a teenager, obviously, just 18 years old. And I happened to mention to one of the brothers, you know, when I was a pledge, that I had never fired a gun. And, of course, you know, he's from South Georgia, and everybody, they go hunting all the time. So he said, "You damn Yankee, we're gonna get your ass out there and fire a gun right now." So he got his shotgun, and we went outside, and there was a big tree just sitting right there, and on the tree was, you know, was this bird just sitting there minding its own business. He said, "There, shoot that." So I aimed a shotgun from about 10 or 12 feet away from this bird and pulled the trigger. And, you know, there were no feathers. There were, you know, nothing. It just was this whoosh through the leaves. And that bird was completely gone. It was a small bird. But it just, the blast was so great, it just absolutely destroyed this bird, annihilated it. And I will never forget the feeling that I had. I said, you know, I didn't let on right at the moment because it would have been unmacho to do so. But I thought, I just killed this bird for no reason whatsoever. And, you know, and I don't like firing a gun. Now,
you wanted to cry.
I've also been, yeah, well, I didn't cry, no. But thank you for asking. but I'll tell you what I did do. I thought, I don't need a gun. I've always been, you know, pretty strong and big. And that's taking care of me. I'm not a girl, and I've never needed one. Now, fast forward all this time, my thought is this. If Barack Hussein Obama insists upon taking weapons away from Americans, which is their inalienable right to have, I want to have one. And I'm not going to give it up.
Mm-hmm.
What is that in me that feels that way? It is that American spirit that we have that says we will not allow tyranny to suppress us.
Exactly.
That's how I feel. Now, I thought about it. I said, okay, would I... If I got a gun, I probably would get a shotgun just because, you know, you pretty much don't have to aim one. They kind of take care of whatever's in the path. And, but I don't know. I'm just contemplating it right now. If I got one, that's probably what I would get. And I thought to myself, would I shoot somebody that came to take it from me? And my initial thought is, no.
I probably wouldn't. But would I use it to protect my family, my children or grandchildren, or your children and your grandchildren against someone who did? And the answer is definitely yes. And you know what? I think that that's how most guys in America feel.
And a lot of gals, too.
A lot of gals, too.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. I think of some of the people on my Facebook, and particularly Dee, who lives out in Los
Jones,
Angeles.
Is it?
Yeah, and, well, she's a writer, and she's also, is in the oil business and also been single and is about, I don't know, I suppose she's probably about 45. She's real cute, and she's petite and small. And she learned how to fire a gun quick, and she has all kinds of photos of her with a weapon she carries, and she's got a permit for it. And I know there'd be no taking a weapon away from her. Now, on the other hand, who would take weapons away? Who would be responsible for that? I mean, you'd have to use the Marines, the Army. They're the most popular aspect of the government in America. I was in the airport a year ago, maybe a little less, about a year ago, and a flight came in returning troops from Afghanistan. And this was in Delta, and in the middle of Concourse A, which everybody in America has probably been in Concourse A at one time or another, flying through, because if you're going any place in the East, you're going to stop in Atlanta. As they got off the plane, somebody started clapping, then others and others, and it was just this crescendo, because we're proud of our troops. Are we proud of our commander-in-chief? Hell no. But our troops, that's different. So this is all mixed up and confused in who we really are as a people. But, and that's the way it should be. An inalienable right means you can't have it taken away from you. It's bestowed upon you by your creator. And Barack Hussein Obama, even though that comedian Fox said he's our Lord and Savior, isn't. So this is a biggie. you got a guy, an idiot like Bloomberg in mayor of New York City, and he said, well, 18-year-olds are too young to be responsible for weapons. Well, it was 18-year-olds that landed on Guadalcanal. It was 18-year-olds that marched overnight 50 miles to relieve Bastogne in the middle of the Battle of the Bulge that finally ended World War II. It's 18-year-olds that go over to Afghanistan and Iraq. So he doesn't know what he's talking about, and yet, he pontificates. It's a big deal, a really big deal. When you travel around and you talk to some of these people, and you live in the Northeast, which, of course, people in the rest of the country think is just full of all these liberals, and they don't have a clue that that's not true at all, that, some of the most conservative people in America, really, even though they do some really weird things like, vote for, the Indian for senator. What's her name? I've forgotten already.
Elizabeth Warren.
Elizabeth Warren, yeah. Hmm. But, you know, they might vote for her, but they're still pretty conservative people. What do you hear people saying?
About her?
No, about guns and about this assault upon our Second Amendment.
Well, I think there is a large amount of liberals in the New England area, but even a lot of the liberals, when it comes right down to taking away a right, yeah, some of them are on to the nth degree of nobody should own a gun, that type of thing. But I'd say that the majority of the people here are don't start messing with something you shouldn't be messing with. And taking away your gun is not anything that these people are going to want to have happen. Now, New England, and I'm sure down in the South, it's a lot heavier in that aspect. And I'm sure out in the Midwest and the West, you're not going to take their guns away, that's for sure.
Well, absolutely. There's no doubt about it. Now
let me ask you a question, though. If you think that Obama would tell the Marines that they had to disarm America, do you think that they would actually do it? Hello?
Well, I'm just thinking. I mean, which certainly isn't something that you should be doing when you're on the air. But, I mean, do I think that our troops would fire upon us? Goodness.
Well, I mean, would they disobey a direct order from the commander-in-chief? And I don't think any of them would follow that order. I really don't. Yeah, maybe a handful of them, but for the most part, I think they'd say, you know, enough is enough.
I don't think they would either. I just can't imagine a scenario. And yet at the same time, you know, the FBI, fired on David Koresh and those people in Waco, and the people in Ruby Ridge. I mean, there are a couple of little splinter things, but this would be a massive effort.
Yeah.
You had that little cluster there in Idaho, I believe it was, or maybe Montana, and then in Waco, Texas, where things like that did happen. But to say, weapons in the state of Georgia or the state of Texas, Florida, New Hampshire, Colorado, you have to turn them in. I see a substantial deterioration of our society if that happens.
Yeah.
And, that's not something that would do real well. The other part of this is that just because there's a popular sentiment concerning it, based on what happened there in Connecticut with these kids, which is horrible, that doesn't make it right, and it doesn't make it achievable. And it doesn't take away from the fact that this is an inalienable right. It can't be taken away. I don't get it. I don't understand how there's, there are people that say, well, we don't really like the Constitution anymore. Well, that's too bad. The Constitution is the law of the land. And you're not going to take, you know, they're doing about as much as they can right now to circumvent the constitutional process. And this is going to be a really interesting period to see how effective that they can actually be in doing this stuff. Now, the whole scandal concerning Fast and Furious had to do with Obama and Holder's desire, or, you know, or other people involved in it too, obviously, by giving those guns to the drug lords so that they could create havoc, and then they would go get them and it essentially say, see, look at all the destruction that's done by it. But it got away from them, and now, you know, they're running away from it because hundreds of people, more people have been killed because of our government allowing that to happen than, you know, by a factor of 10 than who died, than the kids that died, you know, there in Connecticut a month and a half ago. Now, you know, granted, these are 5-year-olds and 6-year-olds, and, you know, this is, I mean, that's about as terrible as it gets. But the people that have been murdered as a result of those guns being given away, their lives were certainly important to them also, and there have been several hundred of them. And that falls right into the responsibility of Barack Hussein Obama and Eric Holder, and it has been stonewalled, and this is a monumental scandal, and it's going away because the press would rather allow our rights to be abridged than do the job that has really been entrusted with them, and that is to be the watchdog of what's happening with government. They like what is happening. They want Obama's vision for the country to become a reality. So they're letting justice go by the wayside to shield him from the truth. I think that the greatest part of this, you know, comes with this whole Benghazi thing, don't you?
Absolutely.
I mean, that's the one where there's a admiral who's just come out and said, and of course, this is, I mean, finding this, you have to go to these obscure places, you know, to find some of these things being reported. And then people say, well, you know, it's not being reported on a, you know, on a credible, by a credible news organization. And yet, the so-called credible news organizations have stonewalled this completely. So it's almost like a catch-22. You can't trust what's being said because it's not from a credible source, and yet the credible sources refuse to report on it because they don't want the truth to come out. So that, you know, kind of, where does that leave us? No alternative. But evidently, this admiral has come out and said that that they purposely took the security away from Benghazi to allow the ambassador and his staff, and they're about 30 people, to be kidnapped just like they were, you know, in Iran in 1979, and then Obama would come in, and this was his October surprise to make him look like a great diplomat, and give the blind sheikh who had, you know, originally tried to take down the Twin Towers in 1994, I believe it was, give them, you know, back, let him go back and live out the remainder of his years in Egypt, and the ambassador and those people would be allowed to go free, and Obama would look like, you know, like the great savior that he is. It was all going fine, except for the two SEALs, when they heard the gunshot, and they were told to stand down and not be the men that they are, that they swore that they would be. And they took it upon themselves, and they blew the whole thing up. Rescued those 30 people, except for the ambassador and the other guy. The people who did the kidnapping, when they saw that they were being fired upon, thought that they had been double crossed by Obama, and so they sodomized the ambassador and killed him. And now, rather than testify, old Hillary is faking, you know, having all kinds of medical problems because she doesn't want to testify. She doesn't want to lie. Not right. Under oath.
Yeah.
Why would she not want to lie under oath and think she could get away with it? Oh, yeah, that's right. Her husband did it.
Right.
And what happened to him? He was impeached for it. He just wasn't convicted. But he was impeached.
Yeah.
Charges were brought. He just didn't have the votes to sustain it. You know, I mean, it was that nearly ended. That ended effectively his ability to govern the last 2 years of his presidency, Clinton. And yet now he's had such a resurgence. He got on the Golden Globes last night, and all of them were fawning all over him.
Yeah.
I kept looking for, you know, when Tina Fey came out all ruffled, I thought she'd have a stain on her outfit. Something could end up throwing us off the air. But you know, these things. This is what's going on, and we have a government that is so irresponsible, that is so alien to the truth that they will not come forward with one thing. I mean, what can we say about this? This is just about. I mean, this is like, what is going on? And there are people who are, you know, well, you know, why don't you just be nice, Jack? Why don't you say some nice things? Aren't there good things that you can say about Barack Obama? Well, no, there aren't.
That's not your fault.
No. I had the discernment of who he was before he was elected the first time. When he promised transparency, and then the first act that he did was to use his presidential directives to close up every record about himself. That was his very first act in office, the very first day that he was in there. The very first thing, his first executive order, was to close up everything when he promised transparency. I knew we were in for the fight of our life, and we are. And as we do this stuff, we're just going to continue. And we're going to talk philosophically about who we need to be as people to save our nation and to be the people that we're supposed to be. But we're just about out of time. So here's the one thing that I want to leave everybody with. I hope the Patriots win next week and the Falcons. So God bless you, and God bless the United States of America, and we'll talk to you all next week. Bye-bye.